Hello and welcome to Connecting to Host. In this episode, we're going to be bringing up all the co-op highlights from E3 2017. What a roller coaster of a ride E3 was this year, with the announcement of the Xbox One X, formerly known as Scorpio, and a whole bunch of AAA VR experiences like Doom and Skyrim. The lineup had some pretty pleasant surprises, including Wolfenstein 2, Metro Exodus, and a new Metroid Prime, along with some familiar faces like Shadow of War and Far Cry 5. There's also some pretty batshit crazy moments like Mario's hat and mustache, mind-controlling a dinosaur, and that Mario & Rabbids game, which we might talk about later. So yeah, without further ado, I think we should just crack right on and focus just on the co-op parts of E3. You've probably heard news from all the other parts all over the web, so we're just going to talk about the co-op parts and the favourite games that we think are going to be awesome to play together. Do you want to kick us off, Ben?
Sure, I'm going to pick one that I don't think... E3 this year, more than most years, was mainly sequels. There was an awful lot of sequels announced with things like... What's that annoying one that I don't like that's on PlayStation that you play? Destiny 2. You've got things like Wolfenstein 2. You've got your things like State of Decay 2. And we've got Star Wars Battlefront 2. And I don't think we ever played the original together because you bought it on PlayStation 4 and I bought it on Xbox One. And so I ended up just playing it with randomers online. And you played it with some friends for a little bit. And you didn't like it enough to buy it again on Xbox. Which is fair enough.
Would have been a push to pay £40 twice.
Yeah. Star Wars Battlefront 2, it really is just more of the same. I mean, it seems to me very much like how Titanfall 2 is to Titanfall, where Titanfall was a multiplayer online game where they had a, quote, single-player campaign that was utterly shite. And then they got criticized for it because it was terrible, and so then when they did the sequel they were like, hey, this multiplayer game that we made, look at this sweet ass single player mode we got, and that's basically what Star Wars Battlefront 2 has been all about. Everyone's just been focused on the single player. Oh, look, there's actual decent single player now, rather than just a few little bits where you jump around Tatooine shooting random things. So the multiplayer aspect of it is getting quite a lot of love as well, though. There's a big focus on heroes. There's supposed to be like a skill system now where you can level up your grunt, basically, and skills will be transferable between them rather than just being solely based on item pickups, which sounds interesting. There's going to be a whole swathe of content across the Star Wars universe. It's not just limited to sort of Empire Strikes Back territory, as the first one was. They've already confirmed like a lot of the stuff from Episode 7 and 8 are going to be in there. I saw a video showing a dogfight over Naboo, with the little Naboo yellow sperm fighter things. So it seems to be like the whole universe, which is nice. Probably not Clone Wars or the cartoon part of it, but everything else is pretty much up for grabs. So I think it'll be interesting. I mean, I really enjoyed the original game because we hadn't stopped playing Titanfall, but we weren't playing it as much. And I was looking for something else to sort of replace that. And this did take over for me for probably about a month. I probably spent a solid month, maybe about 60, 70 hours playing it and really enjoyed it and got pretty good at it. I like the fact that there's no reload because it's obviously like lasers that you're firing and blasters.
I thought mechanically it was nice, but it was just a little bit simple. So I really hope that they flesh it out in the sequel and add a bit more depth to it. That's all I felt. It was kind of, I liked it and it looked and felt amazing like Star Wars. But overall, I just a little bit lacking for me. So I think... I'm pretty excited from what I've heard from this one. I think it could fill in a lot of those gaps.
And one of the big problems was that the big, like, 40-player ones, where it suffers in the same way that all of these big games suffer, where you spawn, you're one person out of 40 running across a white scene, and then someone shoots you and you're dead, and then you respawn and you die, and you respawn and you die, and you're like, oh, I don't want to play this. And then you start getting better. And then when you get good, you start being that douchebag that's just sat picking people off from a distance, be like, boom, I'm so awesome in this game. Headshot, 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 just killing the same guy, respawning constantly. So there is a certain amount of eh. Now, to be honest, I didn't like the heroes side of it, so I'm not that fussed about that. But
I liked in the first one? And that was the, there was the survival mode. And I liked it, but there wasn't enough to it. It was too limited to two players, and you could play one of four stages on easy, medium, or hard. And the arenas were middling size, not as big as the regular maps. But I really liked the concept of that, and I hope that now they've got all the foundations in place, they have a bit more time to add some more of that. I mean, if that was four players and slight more variation in that kind of wave-based survival, it would have been super awesome. I would have maybe picked it up twice if I could have played that more.
So the question is, and I'll be quick because I know we've got a lot of games to get through, but will you be buying it on PlayStation or Xbox?
Because
obviously you're not going to buy it on PC because you don't want to play against PC players.
I want to have a chance, basically, without devoting my life to it. That's the main reason. Yeah, that's tough. That is tough. I'll have to wait and see, but maybe it's good enough to buy on both. That is my hope.
So. Interesting. That really wishy-washy answer. I like it. What's your first game? What's your first game you're bringing to the table?
Yeah, so this one really excited me when I saw it on the one of the live reveals. I stayed up super late to watch a lot of the videos, but this was A Way Out, which is a co-op only action adventure game where the whole premise is that you do a prison break and then you have to stay on the run afterwards. So the game is only going to be played in split screen. You can play it online, but that means you can always see what the other person is doing. There's no single player at all, like I said, so you have to play it together because a lot of the puzzles are going to require you to work together, both in way of timing but also to solve the puzzles. So you might have to distract a guard, say, while I sneak into the laundry room and get a certain item and then come back out again without being noticed. So maybe you'll go up and chat to the guard. But because the two games, the sort of two characters run fairly independently, one of you can be in a cutscene chatting to a guard while the other one is rushing off and doing something. So, but it looks really cool. The styling
that sounds really
fun.
Interesting.
I think it's kind of like 80s. It had that 80s kind of feel to it, at least. With once you've got out and you're on the run, trying to run away from the cops. And then there's some fairly deep story underneath it by the looks of things. You've got to try and get out to get revenge or get out because you've
sounds great.
Been incorrectly incarcerated. So I think that's going to be a definite for you and I to play. It's going to be awesome.
We're
going to have to wait till Q2 of 2018 for that. Yeah, it's a long wait.
What platforms is it on?
Good question. I'm racking my memory.
If it's on PC, we'll play it on PC. But
yeah. I'm almost certain I saw it on the Xbox. You know, when you've watched all the streams, they kind of merge together a little bit when it comes to the game. So I'm almost certain it was an Xbox
EA
one.
Game. Was it one that EA announced during the Xbox announcement? I seem to remember mentioning it.
It was the EA one, and it's coming to all the platforms, I think.
Everything.
So it's going to be on Windows,
everything
PlayStation, and Xbox. Yeah. So, but cool. I think that's going to be really cool. It's just
that
sounds
good.
You have to wait almost a year for it. But
you had me at 80s prison break. That's pretty cool. My next one is really quick. It's because I really don't have much to say about it, because to be honest, not much has been released about it. And that is Far Cry 5. Now, I absolutely loved Far Cry 4, and we've sort of had a pin in it for a long time for us to play it co-op. I completed it single player on the Xbox. I've played a little bit on the PC, and I'm keen to do the co-op bits of it. Mm. But that's just it. They're just little co-op bits. It's kind of more like the Forza Horizon style co-op, where one of you enters the other's world and can help them with their missions, but you don't really get shit for it. You get a little bit of XP or something. So it's not, you know, it's not a full co-op experience. It's not like Dying Light or something. Now, Far Cry 3 had full co-op, and so Far Cry 5 is sort of going back to that full style where you can play through the whole game together, which will be awesome. It's set in Montana. You're going to go after doomsday preppers and religious cults and stuff. It looks like an end of the world sort of doomsday situation, sort of like how you imagine Fallout 4 would be if it was literally like a year afterwards rather than 200 years or whatever it was. Looks like it could be really good. The graphics look top notch. The whole game looks great. I mean, I love Far Cry 4 so much. I've been really looking forward to this. I'm definitely going to be playing through it in single player, but I'm really hoping that we can get it on PC and blast through it in co-op as well. But I don't really have much more to add to it than that. It's just going to be a solid Far Cry game in co-op.
Yeah, I played through 3, and I played that into the kind of full completion, as it were, on my own. I didn't actually realize you could play the whole thing in co-op. That's cool.
I'm pretty sure I could be completely making that up. I'm pretty sure that's true.
I played it when I was in Vancouver, so I wasn't doing much co-op gaming at the time, so I would have.
I think it's going to be like Borderlands kind of co-op style thing, I think.
But the new one, sorry, yes, you definitely will be able to play the whole thing in full co-op, but I meant Far Cry 3. But And then Far Cry 4, I've picked up and keep wanting to play, but haven't yet. And if it had full co-op, I would have played it by now. Yeah, we definitely should. So I was really excited, especially when they did Far Cry Primal. I was really worried they were dropping co-op for good because they didn't have any in that, did they?
No, but there was nothing at all.
So I was super excited to see you can play the full campaign through in Far Cry 5, and that's going to be a blast.
That's going to be great.
Not enough love for co-op games, but there seemed to be quite a lot of E3 this year. So
there's an awful lot. I mean, you always get a lot of things where it's like, oh, look, it's a huge open world and everyone can interact with it. It's like an MMORPG, but not. And there's everyone there. And it's like, oh, I don't want that. I just literally want to play a game where me and you can fire up and jump into a world and blast shit up. I say that now, and then I know as soon as this podcast ends, you're going to say, should we play an hour of Dying Light in the co-op campaign? We, you know, blast some zombies up, and I'll be like, nah, fuck it, Rocket League. So,
but no, we.
So I say that now. But
I know what you mean, though. Like I do like things like Destiny, but not too much because they're too open. I like the tighter experience you get with a story-driven game, and when you can play it together, even better.
Yeah.
Everyone loves watching movies with their friends and doing fun things with their friends. So, but let's move on to the next game. So the next one, talking about Destiny, that would have been a good segue if I was quicker.
Beautiful segue. I thought that's what you were going for. But no.
Well, you know. Only done 20 episodes. Need to sharpen up a bit more. So the next game, which is basically BioWare does Destiny by the looks of things, and it's called Anthem. And I'm pretty torn on this so far, but I'll give you the skinny. So first of all, it looks incredibly pretty. It was one of the, hey, look at it on one of the new consoles. And it's going to be class-based.
Like that when it comes out.
No. No, unfortunately not. But no, it's going to be class-based. So, and they said something about there being kind of sub-abilities. So I guess there's going to be some customization in there so you can further customize. Still sounding like Destiny, right? There's gonna be a big open world which you can go around and do missions and quests. Destiny, although they did mention it's hopefully going to be a bit more living, as opposed to Destiny, which kind of just has these one-off random events that pop up on a really regular, easy to spot basis. This is going to be a bit more random, I think, and hopefully the events are going to be more, hey, this event's happening in everyone's world, be part of it, because it's going to be over at some point, and then it's gone, you know. The traversal look quite fun. So you're going to get an exosuit, so you can kind of dash around and move around a lot quicker, and that looked pretty nice. And they confirmed at E3, or someone did over Twitter, I think, had a conversation with one of the devs, that the action's going to be in third person, but when you move into the hub areas, it's going to be first person. They're spinning the same old, it's a 10-year journey, as Destiny have. And it's going to be, you know, very team play and co-op focused. The trailer had all the really cheesy, hey, you, why don't you throw a grenade? Oh, get back. But it amazing. Still looks really fun. So I'm not sure, because of Destiny, if I've got space for two Destinies in my life. That's the only downside, really. But it did look really good. And
I'll tell you how many Destinies I have space for in my life. None. I did not like Destiny at all.
You were not a fan, were you? I remember when it came out.
as a launch day title purchase, a drunken launch day title purchase. I was like, eh, I don't really want to play. Oh, it looks pretty good. I get it. And then I was like, eh, shit. It's not for me. So I don't think this will be either, because BioWare has gone downhill for me of late as well. So I'm not sold. It'll take a lot of convincing, but I believe they've got a lot of time to convince me.
Yes, because this too is coming next year, right at the end of next year, I think. So we're looking, there's going to be more at E3, I guess, next year before it's released. Probably Q4 2018, plus inevitable delays. So
March 2019. I've come out alongside Destiny 3.
And it's fine. I'm sure we'll be playing it on PS4 with my Friday Night Gang. And then if it is genuinely different to Destiny, I can let you know and we can give it a shot and see.
Yeah, I tell you a game that I am excited for that we need to play, that you can't play on PS4 because it is a Microsoft exclusive to Xbox and Windows 10, and that is Sea of Thieves by Rare, one of my favourite publishers. Now, I had very mixed feelings about this. It's basically a pirate simulator. A lot of people were like, oh, it's like Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, in that there is a similarity that they're both about pirates. You know, it's very similar to Lego Pirates of the Caribbean that way.
There's water
basically. And rum. I'm going to get it in now, get it in early while I can, but Polygon had a brilliant subtitle for this, which was Yo-Ho-Ho and a Bottle of Fun. Which I love. I love that.
Let's just hope we're not saying in 2 years' time, where did all the fun go? Why is the fun always gone?
I do have issues with this, but the basic point of it is that it is a co-op pirate simulator where you're all on a ship. So one of you will be captain, one of you is going to be a swabby, one of you is going to be navigator or whatever. And you kind of go off and sail the seven seas and pirate and plunder and do all the nice stuff that pirates do. And it looks really good. The thing that convinced me was actually a developer diary video a few months ago. And it looked a huge amount of fun with a few people playing it. Now, I don't know how well it's going to work with two people, because I've not seen any video of just two people playing it. I'm also not sure if it would work with randoms on the internet. If there's not like a story to tie it all together, it could fall flat. It could be like a very... what was that terrible game? No Man's Sky kind of feeling to it.
Yeah, sort of just a big open world where you don't have anything to do.
That is the real fear I have of this game, is that it's very much like... Well, it's kind of like No Man's Sky. Obviously, it's being backed by Rare, big studio that everyone's heard of. It's an exclusive Xbox title, so they're like pushing it as much as they can. And it seems to be getting a lot of hype, and it could come out and then just be like, bit of pirates, but the video looked good, so I'm cautiously optimistically intrigued, and I imagine, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's a Play Anywhere title, so if you buy it on Xbox you can play it on Windows or you can play it on Xbox, which I really like. I like that option.
That was another one that had a really cheesy
really, I bet it did,
voiceover of the thing, but it did look really fun. I mean, they went through a video where they piloted their ship to a place, all got off, and then they went into a dungeon, killed some skeletons, dug the treasure up, and got it back to the ship. It looked fun, but again, it did look like there wasn't a story. So I think that's going to be the real big deciding factor for me. I hope there's some underlying thing driving it along.
It'll make or break based on the stories, the personal stories it generates for you. Like, that was what No Man's Sky was supposed to do, and it didn't. Elite Dangerous arguably does do that, where it is all very random, but you sort of get a little bit of story and cool stuff happens. So it remains to be seen where it's going to fall on that scale, but I'm cautiously optimistic at this stage.
Just hoping
maybe
I can...
Because I like pirates.
Hoping I can plunder a pirate ship, get all the players to just scrub my deck, and all they have to do is keep pushing A to scrub my deck for the whole time.
That's the subtitle for the show right there. Scrub my deck. Press A to scrub my deck.
Nice.
Moving on.
Moving swiftly on to zombie apocalypse.
This conversation's decaying.
Now I have to put the explicit tick box on the show. Thank you, Ben. Moving on quickly to zombie apocalypses. when hasn't there been an E3 when there's been a screen full of zombies? But this time I'm going to talk about State of Decay 2, which...
That's unfair. I thought Sony executives were pretty animated this time around.
Ayo! State of Decay 2. So the first one was available on Xbox, and it was a long time ago. And I never played it, but I heard really good things about it, and I'm a bit sad that I didn't play it, because looking at the sequel, it looks really good. The sequel is the first one to have co-op, so it's not something we could just buy and play together, the previous one, unfortunately. But it looks like basically a zombie apocalypse simulator. So you head out into the wilderness, you build a base, you have to worry about all the resources, there's not enough food, not enough bullets, blah, blah, blah. I think there's, you know, genuinely in-depth base building. But the couple of really novel things are you actually have a community of people, and you can switch characters in that community. I don't know if it's at will or when you're back at base, but frequently. And then if a character dies, they're dead. So permadeath. So you can get attached to the people in your base, but don't get too attached because they might not live for too long. You hate them anyway. Fuck it off and die.
Yeah. I want your food.
You're just going to walk them out into the wilderness and watch them get eaten, while your main character just sits in a rocking chair, rocking back and forth. Die, all of you horrible people. Stop disturbing me.
I heard there's some medkits in that pit over there.
Just jump in and get them for me, would you? It's going to feature drop-in, drop-out co-op. Now, I'm not sure if that means it's going to be a little bit Forza Horizon-y in the sense of you drop into my game, take over my guys, and then we play together. So I'm not sure if it will have the full story kind of feeling for the second or subsequent players. But, you know, I hope it does. I hope some of the progression can go back to your own community. I don't really know how it's going to work, so I can't say a comment on that yet. But it'd be nice if there was a benefit for you dropping into my game, not just, hey, yeah, I'm here to play.
We generally prefer a full co-op experience where you're actually both dropped in. I mean, even if you do it the shitty Halo way where the cutscenes show there's one person and then when you appear there's two of you, but you always get referred to as there being one person, so it's like a single player game split in two. At least you're playing together, which is nice. Whereas when it's like, oh, it's one huge shared open world, but actually you're in their open world where only their stuff's unlocked, not yours, so it's not a shared open world. It's then it gets blurry and difficult, and you never know if you're going to unlock something you shouldn't or get credit for something. It's annoying, but it's just the state of things at the moment, really.
But I think it's from the look of the video, it's, you know, more on the Dying Light side of the horror, not the fun Dead Island. I don't think it's going to be too horror, not in a shit you up kind of way. But yeah, there were some good character and, I'm not going to say emotional from the trailer because there wasn't enough, but yeah, there were people being emotional in the trailer. So it's got some feels going on in there, which is nice.
It's got scope for being emotional.
Yeah. You know, it's not kind of Dead Rising. Ha ha ha, we just kicked a zombie and it flew into the sky or something, you know, which has got its own good place as well. But it just looks reasonably serious and looks like a lot of fun. So I'm pretty excited for it. We have to wait basically a year. Q1 or Q2 2018. Whenever I see that, that means Q2.
Yeah, definitely. And Q2 generally means Windows. August.
Yeah. Last day of Q2 2018.
Yeah. Very odd definition of spring. So speaking of, you know, dark and serious games, moves me on to my final one I wanted to bring up, which is Mario and Rabbids Kingdom. Which can it's been rumoured for a long time. There was a long-running rumour of, oh, there's going to be a crossover game with Mario and the Rabbids, which are Ubisoft's... I forget what they first turned up in, but they're essentially the minions from Despicable Me, but they're rabbits. I think they were like in some weird minigame for the Wii, weren't they? Was that where they came from?
I have no idea.
Pretty sure it was a Wii game that they turned up in first, and then it got popular and they did a shit ton of stuff with them. So this is inexplicably, you're Mario, you're Peach, you're Luigi, you're chilling out in a Mushroom Kingdom, and then a warp pole appears, and then these weird crazed rabbits show up and they're dressed like you for some reason. It's like little rabbit dressed as Mario, one as Peach. And then you fight them, but you don't fight against the rabbits. You like split into teams. So it could be like Mario and a rabbit dressed as Peach and a rabbit dressed as Luigi versus actual Luigi, Peach, and a rabbit dressed as Mario. And it's like, what? And then Mario pulls out like a gun and like just shoots like a rabbit guns, right? in the head and stuff. It's weird. It's very odd. It's basically XCOM. That is the game. It's just XCOM, but with
and that's even weirder, right? I mean, who picks that sort of game for those characters?
When it was sort of first announced, like, oh, Mario and Rabbids crossover, it's like, oh yeah, that's going to be a fun WarioWare style party game where things are a bit crazy and a bit Japanese and a bit weird, like 1-2 Switch. But no, it's XCOM with cross-dressing rabbits that are dressing as Mario. It's very peculiar, but it looks really fun. That's the annoying thing. It's very easy to be flippant about it, but then the trailer, I was watching it going, I definitely am going to buy this. This will be a launch title purchase. Now, the problem is that apparently there's not much detail that I could find at the moment about it. It's local co-op only, so...
That sucks.
It sucks, especially when you realise it's a Switch exclusive, so local co-op means a Joy-Con each.
Or so £120 worth of Pro Controllers on the TV.
Yes, maybe. Because they've got some weird rules by there, which we've discussed before. But anyway, it doesn't look like there's online co-op or anything like that, which seems really odd to me for a turn-based strategy game, because even iOS can do that.
Like the perfect candidate for something to play online.
Yeah, I mean... If Apple's Game Center can do turn-based games as standard, you would think that the Switch could do it, but apparently not. It's a definite purchase for me. I'll definitely want to play a single player. If there is some online co-op, I will definitely play that. If there is local co-op and we can play when we happen to be together and have our two Pro Controllers, then we will play it. I'm 100% sure.
But yeah, I'm going to be buying it at launch as well.
Yeah, it doesn't look as good as it should have been in that there could be proper online multiplayer stuff. But the good news is it comes out next month or the month after. It's August, I believe. August this year. It was like a real surprise. Like, oh, holy shit, it's coming out. You know,
well kept secret for the games industry nowadays. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's good at that stuff. Everyone else is just clamoring to go, hey, look at these 20 trailers for this game coming out in 3 years, whereas Nintendo is much more Apple-like in that regard, where they're like, we've been working on this for a while, it comes out in 2 months. Enjoy.
Yeah, so, which is great, because you can get that game earlier. There's a couple of interesting facts about this game that stick in my head. One of them I learned from you, and that's really interesting that this comes out on the same day as that XCOM DLC, massive XCOM 2 DLC, right?
And it's coming out exactly the same day. Huge XCOM 2 DLC.
I mean, I don't think the two are going to compete because one's a fun Switch, laid-back game, and the other one is not coming to Switch. So I don't think it matters. I just thought it was interesting that they're both basically the same style of game, which is quite rare nowadays.
It seems to just be an unlucky coincidence that... An XCOM 2 clone is coming out on the day of a massive XCOM 2 DLC.
And it's just another interesting fact is that this is the first time Mario is going to carry a weapon, apparently, that isn't spraying water or something, an actual killing people weapon. So,
I mean, arguably, you could say a Mario Kart because he's chucking those red shells around.
True.
And, I mean, he turns into a Bullet Bill and leaves bananas behind him, the littering bastard. But that was the bit that threw me. I was watching the trailer and I was like, okay, there's rabbits, there's dressed as Peach, that's weird, okay. It's creepy. Okay, what game is this going to be? So I'm expecting a mini game. I'm expecting to see someone milking a rabbit any minute now.
Yeah.
And no.
I don't want to see that, but thanks.
Mario's whipped out a laser pistol and he's just dispatched a rabbit dressed as Peach. Interesting. Interesting.
Batshit crazy. We promised you batshit crazy, and there it was.
That's proper Japanese mental right there. I love it. Love it.
Anyway, two more games that I want to bring up before we just rattle off a few at the end. There was one that was in the PlayStation announcements, and that was called Hidden Agenda. And it's an action-adventure, kind of crime-solving cop, almost like a cop drama, but as a game. where you're chasing a serial killer called The Trapper. And his thing is that he leaves traps on the bodies, so the first responder who goes to the body gets to trigger the trap and probably die. But it's a... What was that game from... Oh, the name was here, but now it's gone. There's a similar game from the PS3 where you would go back and, you know, move around trying to solve the crime. And it was something people apparently used to play streamed quite a lot, or sharing the experience in the living room. And yeah, I think it's the cop drama episode of CSI feel is pretty strong.
LA Noir?
No, it's for the it was a Sony exclusive, and it was
I won't know what it is then.
It was like Soul Heavy Rain, maybe. That's the one.
Heavy Rain. I was gonna say Heavy Rain because that's one of the few PS3 exclusives I've heard of that's highly thought of. And so I thought, is it Heavy Rain? I was like, I'm not gonna say it because I'll be wrong and I'll sound a fool.
I don't know if it's the same studio, but I got very strong vibes from the Heavy Rain feel. And but there's so yeah, I think primarily the game's going to be, you know, going around talking to people, trying to solve these crimes, maybe a little bit of reflexes. And they said there's going to be quick time events where people can die in the way that, you know, the character will then be dead, I think is the point. Not, oh, you have to restart, you know, so there will
kind be kind of like a Telltale content. Game.
Yeah, I think probably a little bit more involved, but not much. So one of the selling points is that many of the characters, most, maybe all, I'm not sure, will be able to live or die throughout the story. So there's an incentive for getting your choices right. But the really cool thing is that the game's designed to be played in groups. So they will use the, I don't know, fancy new connect your phone to your PlayStation, PlayLink or something, where, and the idea is you play it in a group and everyone gets to kind of vote on what action to take. And that in itself is quite interesting. So, hey, how are you going to approach this guy? Are you going to get angry? Are you going to shoot him? Or are you going to give him a chance? But if you give him a chance, maybe he shoots you because you don't take the first shot. And then you'll all vote and then use that to drive the narrative forwards. But one person will get a secret objective or a hidden agenda. And they will have to do a certain thing, which I guess will often kind of result in screwing the players over, and the other players need to try and figure out who that person is. But so that means the guy with the secret objective is going to be kind of making the odd bad decision, but not ones that are obviously bad. Otherwise you'll know who it is and you can call them out. So whether they'll actually be, I guess they won't be the killer, they didn't really say what this involved, but I guess they'll be someone who is a friend of the killer or knows the killer or wants to be like the killer. That's my gut feeling. So you're going to be trying to help the killer somehow, but the players, you know, the other players won't know who you are. So
sounds interesting. Cool. When's that coming out?
Well, that's actually going to, it just says 2017, the only information I have. Cool. So
December.
Probably the, yeah, probably the end of this year.
Nice.
But yeah, maybe when we next meet up to play games, that could be the sort of thing we could play together. So,
yeah, that sounds cool.
Last game that I wanted to pick up on specifically was something called Deep Rock Galactic. And I've noticed it's on Steam. It was during the Xbox show, but it's also on Steam. And I guess it's an Xbox exclusive, quote unquote, and also on PC. And it's a really... It's a fairly low-poly, colourful game, so it stood out immediately, where you play space dwarfs in procedurally generated cave systems, and you have to kind of fight your way through monsters, dig and mine through the cave system, and then explore your way around. It wasn't clear from the trailer what the overarching objectives are, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a class-based game where you can play as like a driller, or an engineer, or a gunner, or a scout. And you work together as a team. You can play it co-op or on your own. And you have to go into these mines and presumably get some sort of minerals or kind of treasure, you know, in a sci-fi way. But it looked fun. I think it could be really cool. I don't know if you would play it two-player and have two AI joining you, but it looked...
Sounds really interesting. What platform was that on, did you say?
Windows and Xbox. And it looked very... very, yeah, I don't, not to sound harsh, but it looks very indie. You know, it's one of those not super polished games, but it does look... But that also means it could be really interesting, right? Because they can be a bit more free and open with what they do. So it looks good.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know if this was just from the trailer or not, but it also looked like a kind of no UI game, or at least normally no UI, because all the bullet counts are on the guns. So I'm not sure if that was just for the trailer or not, but that was kind of interesting too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll rattle through a few other games, I guess, of ones that were announced that we weren't going in depth. So Need for Speed Payback, which I know nothing about, but you know, it's what is this, like the 50th Need for Speed game at this point? It's probably more of the same, I would guess. It's probably got 25 new hues of blue for the strip lighting underneath that you can play. The Crew 2, which is
that's the massively open world driving game, right? So
yeah, that had massive issues at launch.
Kind of surprised it's got a sequel, but it may be a bit better than I thought.
Very surprised, but apparently people like it. Being a sequel, it probably has a really good single player coming up in it. You could die and know nothing about these games. Okay, this is an interesting genre of game that John has listed in our document. It just says bullshit sports games, FIFA, NHL, etc.
So I'm a massive sports game fan myself, so all those games that come out every year.
So FIFA 2018 is coming out with slightly better chiselled hair for each player, and NHL's probably got better hockey sticks, I guess. Is that hockey? Probably. Whatever.
More beating on the Canadians, you know.
Okay, so there are three that I am actually excited for. So one of them is a bit odd. You wouldn't think we'd mention it in a co-op game, which is Super Mario Odyssey. And you don't often think of Mario as a co-op game, but Super Mario Galaxy, both 1 and 2, did have an odd form of co-op whereby the second player could use the Wiimote to control like a little cursor that could pick up the stars that you could collect. And so while one person was playing through, you could literally help collect shit, basically. And to be fair, I watched my friend Phil play, I think it was Super Mario Galaxy 1, and I played that role. I just sat there with a Wiimote drinking and generally picking up collectibles. And you could also like point at Mario and press a button to give him like an extra jump.
Yeah,
so you could help out in some tricky bits. And it was really fun, actually. It was a really nice couch co-op experience. It was a bit different. And in any case, Super Mario Odyssey has something similar where you can play as Cappy, the cap with eyes. I'm sure there's a co-op Cappy pun in there somewhere, but I just can't bring myself to do it. One of the interesting things about it is that, which I'll be mentioning in my update next week, is that someone got in trouble the other day for saying that the cap possesses things, because you basically possess like a T-Rex, and Mario's soul enters the T-Rex's body, and it grows a moustache and a hat. And Nintendo were
the moustache is so brilliant. That's one of my best bits of the E3. So you now control the dinosaur with a moustache.
Nintendo were very quick to reply to say that you did not possess them, but Cappy simply captured them. That's like, In any case, it looks like Player 2 will be able to do something with Cappy. There's not many details about what that'll be yet, but it will be a couch co-op experience where you basically will... It's designed, I think, probably for kids, so you can have like a younger kid that isn't tactile enough to play the game fully but wants to be involved in it can assist, which is essentially what I did when I was 24 with Super Mario Galaxy.
Too drunk to help.
Yeah, That's my tagline. So another game is Total War Warhammer 2, which is a really interesting game in that it's kind of like an expansion for Total War Warhammer, because if you have the original, you can merge the two together to make one huge epic campaign, which sounds really interesting. It's a standalone game on its own, but when you join the two together, you can do more stuff. And so it's going to be more of the same, that, you know, multiplayer fighting, you know, that kind of stuff is more of the same, but still excited for it because we need to play Total War Warhammer together because
we should do a run of that. I'd really like to play it co-op and see how multiplayer and see how it goes.
And then my final one, which I only remembered while we were talking, during the episode is Red Dead Redemption 2. Now, nothing has been announced for multiplayer. Nothing at all. But Red Dead Redemption had, to my mind, one of the finest multiplayer experiences ever, because it had a legitimate shared open world where you could go in with friends and you could go and do stuff. Like, you could go down to Thieves Landing and play a few rounds of Liar's Dice just with randoms in a tavern. Or you could roam around fighting bandits, like in their gang hideouts and stuff. You could round up a posse and just like roam around doing good or doing bad. It was such
That was really cool.
Beautiful, beautiful piece of multiplayer. Massive amounts of fun. And then the expansion for the undead stuff added like some cool horde modes and stuff, which were fun.
Yeah, I played that a little bit. It was just more fun in a good world. So
yeah. Based on the strength of GTA Online, I would bet a sizable chunk of money that Red Dead Redemption 2 will follow that.
Would you eat your cappy?
I wouldn't, because it has a soul in it. I fear that we're not going to get the nice same Red Dead Redemption multiplayer we had previously. Instead, it will be a microtransaction-fueled piece of hell. Oh, hey, go and spend £7 to buy some doubloons so you can buy a slightly nicer suit. Will probably be what it is, with some like heist mechanic where you fight gangs and stuff. But none of it's been announced. But I'm still excited to see what it is, because that is probably my most anticipated game of the year. Or at least it was until they pushed it back to next year. So, yeah.
2020.
It's kind of cheeky to mention it in this context, because it was not mentioned once at E3. But
I'm
going to put it in anyway, because I'm damn well excited about it. So
sneak it on the end. Good.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thanks ever so much for listening. That brings our E3 2017 co-op highlight show to a close. So if you think we missed something or would like us to do a show on a different game, then just hit us up on Twitter at CDHcast, and you can look through our back catalogue of episodes at our website, connectingtohost.co.uk. And if you like the show, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Thanks again.